You're listening to National Radio.
You're in fine voice this morning, Mr. Manders.
Oh, thank you, Perkins.
Going to see Mr. Raffles, sir?
Indeed I am.
You'll find him at home, I'm sure, sir.
Thank you.
It was a beautiful spring day. Not a cloud disturbed the unbroken blue of the sky, and I was in the best of spirits. I even bestowed a smile upon the sour-faced gentleman I encountered on the stair.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Manders. And what are you doing here at this hour? Come to visit your friend, Mr. Raffles?
Mackenzie. He was the last man in the world I wished to encounter. Ever since the recent matter of the pawnbroker's murder and our subsequent protection of his assailant, Crawshay, I admit I found it extremely difficult to look Inspector Mackenzie in the eye.
Cat, got your tongue, sir?
No, yes. I am visiting Mr. Raffles, as it happens. He invited me around for breakfast.
Then he's forgotten.
Eh?
I just called at his chambers. There was no reply. Perhaps he's gone away early for Easter.
Well, not without telling me, I'm sure, but confounded, the porter said...
That porter is half asleep, sir. I've noticed it before.
Ah, yes, the little affair of Crawshay.
Pardon me, sir. Murder is not a little affair.
No, of course not.
You're forgetting, perhaps, that he almost killed your friend, Mr. Raffles.
No, I'll never forget that.
To say nothing of the attempt he made upon my own life last summer.
No.
Well, you'll be glad to know that our net is closing on the villain. I have every confidence we'll have him in irons before the week is out.
But wasn't there a rumor that he'd gone abroad?
Don't you believe it, sir. He's here. I feel it in my marrow.
Here?
Not far away. Well, I expect you'll be walking back to Mount Street, isn't it, sir? I might keep you company as far as Berkeley Square.
Oh, no. Now that I'm here, I'll leave a note for Raffles and stick it under his door.
Very well, sir. It's a criminal offense, tell him.
Eh?
Or very nearly. Inviting a man to breakfast and not being there to give it to him.
Oh, yes. Well, good day, Inspector.
Good day, Mr. Manders.
I was in a ruminative mood as I climbed the stairs to Raffles' chambers. The day which had started so well was going badly wrong. Not only was there the mystery of my friend, who was not where he should be, but also the mystery of Crawshay, who, it seemed, was back where he shouldn't be. At Raffles' door, I scribbled a brief note on the back of a card and pushed it through. Almost immediately, the lock turned, and the door swung open.
Hop in, buddy. Be quick about it.
Raffles!
Hurry, ma'am. Were you followed?
No, why should I be?
Mackenzie's here.
I know, I met him below.
You spoke to him?
Well, he to me.
What did he say?
He said he'd been to your chambers.
Yes, I fear I boorishly pretended to be out.
And he also said that Crawshay...
Yeah, I know. He told me that yesterday. He's taken to paying me regular visits, damn his eyes.
But do you believe him? About Crawshay?
I believe he believes it.
It could be dangerous.
Many things could be dangerous. Come in.
Jumping Jehoshaphat. What's all this?
This, my dear old bunny, is the reason I couldn't possibly let Mackenzie in this morning.
But what is all this stuff?
A herd of white elephants, nothing new. This stack of crested plate usually lives on top of my wardrobe. Those impressive bronze salvers are accustomed to reside in the mahogany wine cooler, and these, alas, rather tarnished silver teapots.
But I don't remember any of these.
Oh, no. Before your time, old fellow. But nowadays I make it a golden rule to take only what may be carried on my person and to eschew unwieldy or unsaleable boodle altogether. But in my younger days, well, you know what young men are like.
I believe I can just remember.
Nothing here I'd ever have the temerity to use. And only a savage would consider melting such things down.
But you still haven't explained...
Why I've looked it all out. I was coming to that. I'm packing it up and sending it away.
Where?
In that chest there.
I mean, where are you sending it?
To your bank, Bunny.
to my bank?
No, don't be alarmed. It's all quite simple. I'd put it in my bank if I had one.
Raffles?
And you won't be alone. There's many a family, titled and otherwise, who slip their silver into the bank while they run over to Paris for a merry Easter. You'll be lost in the crowd, my dear fellow. What am I thinking of? I invited you to breakfast, did I not?
AJ, you did.
Oh, a little more tedgeree, my dear chap.
No, thank you.
Now, Mackenzie's watery eyes started to trouble me, and that's bad. The most innocent visit from a workman of the Albany estate, a plumber, perhaps, or a glazier, and I regard the size of his boots with a terrible suspicion. And that's not good for the digestion, Bunny.
But if you trust me, as you say, why haven't you told me these things before?
One can't always be logical, Bunny. Suffice it to say that a trouble shared is oftentimes a trouble doubled.
Well, while you're in a sharing vein, what of Crawshay? The last I heard of him, he was heading for Southampton with a new alias and a one-way ticket to Australia in his pocket. I mean, that's what we agreed.
Well, the only thing one can say with any certainty on the subject of Crawshay is that he reached Paddington Station. I know that because I took him there.
So, what of our gentleman's agreement?
It's all very well, but Crawshay is not a gentleman. He's a player. A professor of petty larceny.
The prince of professors.
Perhaps.
And you believe he may still be in England?
We shall see.
You mean, if he is still in England...
He'll find his way back here. My dear Bunny, I don't blame him. It's irresistible. Every cracksman's dream and no comeuppance. I couldn't possibly go to the police and say, well, now could I, that I've been robbed of the Duff Morton plate, the Ampney silver and the gold spoons of the Vandermeers.
It would, I do understand, be difficult.
The whole thing's tricky. Nothing I feel I can play a decent bat to. So, to make a virtue of a necessity, I shall take myself off to Scotland for a week or so.
To Scotland? Why?
To learn the lingo. I'm able to keep my end up in Cockney, stage Irish, real Devonshire, and fairish Norfolk, and three distinct Yorkshire dialects. But I have to confess that my Galloway Scots is, to say the least of it, open to improvement.
Uh-huh.
Besides, I hate to return from a holiday empty-handed, as it were.
You will tell me where to write to you?
No, I'd prefer to be incommunicado for a little while. I shall write first.
Well, at least let me see you off.
I'll be catching the 11:50 from Euston. Oh, and while I'm away, you'll be glad to know I've made arrangements for these rooms to be freshened up with a pot full of paint. I'm also having the electric light put in and the telephone.
Bravo.
And everyone may poke about to their heart's content, for I shall leave every mortal thing unlocked.
Except for the chest.
Exactly. That will be locked up and away. Now, be here with a growler at 9:45 tomorrow, Bunny. That will exactly meet the case.
I left without further parley, reading the impatience in his face. I loved to talk matters out. Raffles did not. In the evening, I dropped in at the club, hoping that we might dine together after all. In this, I was disappointed. It was nothing, however, to the disappointment awaiting me at the Albany next morning, when I arrived in my heavy four-wheeler at the appointed hour.
Gone? Mr. Raffles has gone?
Yes, sir.
Well, where on earth to?
Scotland, sir.
Already?
By the 11:50 last night, sir.
Last night? I thought he intended to catch the 11:50 this morning.
Ain't no such train, sir.
Damnation. He must have wondered what had happened to me.
No, sir. He guessed the mistake you'd made.
Did he leave me no message?
No, sir. Only that there, sir.
What? The chest.
Good morning, Mr. Manders.
Hmm?
We seem to be making a habit of bumping into each other, sir. Well, I'm afraid your luck's no better than yesterday's. Mr. Raffles isn't at home this morning either.
No. He's away.
Is he now?
Yes, he's gone to Scotland.
Well, I'll not criticize him on his choice.
Oh, yes.
But didn't you say he wasn't going away, sir?
He decided yesterday. On the spur of the moment. He's having his rooms painted and so forth, and, well, he didn't want to be around while they were done.
I see. Uh-huh. He'll be away for some time, then?
I believe so.
Just tell me one more thing, then, if you would, Mr. Manders.
Certainly.
It's none of my business, of course, sir, but if your friend is away, And what are you doing here?
He's come to collect...
Keep your mouth shut, man. I was asking Mr. Manders.
I came to see if he'd left a message.
What sort of message?
His address in Scotland.
And had he?
No.
Very secretive fellow, your Mr. Raffles. Well, I understand that in him. I'm a mickle secretive myself.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day, Inspector.
Will you be taking it away, sir? The chest?
Yes. I'll be taking it away.
It took two porters, the cabbie and myself, 10 minutes to load that chest onto a growler. And the 15 minutes or so it took to reach my bank in Sloane Street are not among the most pleasant in my experience. It seemed to me that the wooden sides of that huge box on the roof of the cab had turned on a sudden to glass, through which the whole world could view its guilty and felonious contents. At Hyde Park Corner, a constable held up the traffic at our approach. For one terrible moment, I put a most chilling construction upon this simple ceremony. But at last, the journey came to an end.
Good. City and Suburban, your bank, sir.
Oh, yes. Find a stout fellow to give you a hand with the box, will you?
There's a likely lad over there, Governor, in the fancy dress. Oi, you!
You dressing me, my man?
Yes, look lively and give the gentleman an hand with Noah's Ark.
What?
His box.
What? That thing up there?
Yes.
Boy, he looks heavy.
It is sparking heavy, mate. It's half killed my horse, bringing it here. Look at him. Hardly stand, he can.
I'll make it worth your while.
Come on, then!
Oh. That's a hospital job if that thing falls on you.
Why, the undertaker's more like.
I'll make it worth your while, I said.
Oh, I don't...
Here. And that's for you, cabbie.
Oh, thanks very much, Captain.
I'll have to take my coat off. I don't like it if he gets the livery muddy.
At last, we got the thing inside the bank and set it down by the lift which supplied the vaults. It was then a simple matter to have the deposit entered in the bank's ledgers. Such was my relief, I felt obliged to jest.
Contents?
The family plate, don't you know?
Ah, yes, sir.
What they'll use to eat off over Easter, I can't imagine.
Beg your pardon, sir?
The family. Without plates.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, very visible, that. The family plate. Wait till I tell the wife that one, sir. Oh, she'll scream, she will.
I should have got through the rest of the day in a similarly genial mood, had not my peace of mind been totally shattered by a message awaiting me at my rooms. It bore the stamp of Crewe Station, 2 a.m. It read,
"Beware Prince of Professors. He was lurking as I left. If slightest uneasiness, rebank, withdraw item at once and keep in own rooms like good chap."
It was signed,
AJR.
Well, at least he was safely away. That was one good thing. Indeed, the only good thing. As for that damned chest, what was I to do? Take the thing from the bank again, or leave it where it was? And Crawshay or no Crawshay, why should I feel any unease about the safety of the vaults of the City and Suburban? And yet, suppose the chest was not safe from prying hands and eyes? Suppose one of the porters at the Albany, or the cabman, or the liveried flunky at the City and Suburban was in Crawshay's employ? Or worse, in Mackenzie's? How would I ever face Raffles again? In the morning, my dilemma seemed only to have gained in dimensions. When faced with a problem of some magnitude, I often repair to the Turkish baths in Northumberland Avenue. I know of nothing so cleansing to the mind and body, nothing better calculated to put the keenest possible edge on such judgment as I possess. The muffled footfalls, the thin sound of the fountain, even the spent, swathed forms on the couches, and the whole clean, warm, idle atmosphere, all were unction to my soul. I made my way to the hottest room of all, where absolute silence was guaranteed. Usually guaranteed.
Raining outside, young fella?
Hmm?
Asked if it was raining outside.
No, it isn't.
What do you say?
He says it isn't. Have you any idea of the time, sir? Time?
I don't know the time. I am not, as you will observe, wearing a watch and chain. It is, I am told, inadvisable to wear a watch and chain in a Turkish bath.
What does he say?
Says he doesn't know. Do you come here regularly, young man?
Once or twice a month, sir. I come here for peace and quiet.
I beg your pardon,
sir. So why don't you just read your newspaper and leave me alone?
What does he say?
Says I should read my newspaper and leave him alone.
Insolent young puppy.
No respect.
Well, it's going to the dogs. Fighting in the streets next, shouldn't wonder.
Rot set in and no mistake.
Yes, I blame it on the Queen. Man the Navy. Yeah. Whenever they're wanted, where are they? Gallivanting round the Isle of Wight.
Anarchists in Paris.
They're welcome to them.
Can't even trust the banks anymore.
Never did.
See this in the Gazette. Bank in Sloane Street robbed. Strong room rifled. Night watchman hit on the head.
Oh. Terrible.
No knowing what the villain's got away with.
Trouble with vaults and strong rooms.
Excuse me.
Did you speak, sir?
It's not the City and Suburban.
What's he say?
He said, it's not the City and Suburban.
Ah, then you're a liar, sir. It is the City and Suburban. There, in black and white. Daring and mysterious crime, they call it.
Crawshay.
Eh, what'd he say?
Great heavens.
What? Kindly cover yourself, sir.
But I had thrown all modesty and caution to the winds. I hardly remember throwing on my clothes and leaving the place.
Good day, sir. Leaving already?
Call me a cab, will you? Quickly.
Certainly, sir.
My mind was still spinning 10 minutes later as the cab turned from Knightsbridge into Sloane Street, and I beheld the small crowd of aggravated folk which had gathered outside the portals of the City and Suburban. I elbowed my way into the building and searched about me for a familiar face. At last, I found one. It belonged to the clerk, who had laughed so obligingly at my joke the previous day.
Now, will you please stand clear, everybody? You too, sir.
My name is Manders.
Just wait there, sir. No point in pushing.
I left a box here yesterday.
All these gentlemen have articles in the box, sir.
Is it safe?
I can't say, sir. The police are down in the vault at the moment. They'll let you know as soon as they can. Please, stand back, gentlemen.
What about my strongbox?
All in good time, gentlemen.
May I see it at least?
I'm afraid you can't, sir. Not until the police are finished.
This is monstrous. What are they doing?
How did the police get away?
Look here, sir, with respect, why don't you buy a newspaper?
Yes. It's all here in black and white. Night Watchman's story, own words.
He had a nasty knock on the head, poor fellow.
Well, did it say how the villains got in?
It is believed they enter through the coal cellar which lies adjacent to the box.
Please, stand back. If you have a simple deposit account with this gentleman, rest assured your money's in no danger. No danger at all. The ordinary banking chambers were not entered by the thieves.
But it says here in the paper.
Only the strong room was broke, sir. I assure you, gentlemen.
The thieves had their heads screwed on. A lot of gentry put their plate away over Easter.
Yes, you have to admire the pluck of it.
Look here, I insist on seeing my chest.
Quite impossible, I'm afraid, sir.
That's not good enough.
You may only see it if you wish to remove it.
I have every intention of removing it. I wouldn't dream of leaving.
And then, only when the police have finished.
I demand to see a representative of the police.
There's one just behind you, sir.
What? Ah, now look here, you. Inspector Mackenzie.
What's all this, then? Are you in some difficulty, Mr. Manders?
No, it's nothing. Nothing.
He demands to look at his strongbox, he says.
No, it doesn't matter, really.
What? Is one of the boxes yours, sir?
No, not exactly.
He brought it in yesterday, the family plate, he said.
Ah, what did I tell you?
I was joking.
Come now, Mr. Manders, what is it you want? Are we peaked to see that nothing is missing, sir?
No, it's all right. I mean, if you let me look, well, you'll have to let all these other gentlemen look, too.
Here is a list, gentlemen, of all the strong boxes brought.
Really?
Names and numbers. Now, I'll post it up here. There's no Manders among them, sir. Your family plate is safe enough.
Oh, thank goodness. All the same, I think I shall remove it.
Well, I'd be pleased to help you check the contents, sir.
Oh, no, thank you, Inspector.
You're sure?
Quite sure, thank you.
Well, at least let some of my fellows help you up with it, then.
That's very kind of you, Inspector.
Two stout constables bore the box from the vault and eventually onto the top of another four-wheeler.
I'm very grateful to you.
No trouble at all, sir.
Safe journey, Mr. Manders.
In the growler, I stretched and lay back. My relief at the successful resolution of my past difficulties was far too overwhelming to admit of pangs or fears for the immediate future. No summer sun had ever shone more brightly than that rather watery one of early April. There were hansoms on the road laden with schoolboys just home for the Easter holidays, four-wheelers outward bound with bicycles and perambulators aloft, but none who rode in them was half so happy as I in my old slow-moving growler, with the great weight on top not half so heavy as the weight now lifted from my heart and mind.
Down the street, Governor.
Stop just here, will you?
Right,
I'll go. Fine. Now, give me a hand upstairs with the box, will you?
Yes, Gov.
It just went into the lift. That was a stroke of luck. And with my sudden lightness of heart, I confess I felt that I could have carried the thing all by myself.
Where to set it down, sir?
Just here. Excellent. Here. Take this. This. And that.
Thank you very much, Your Reverence.
Thank you.
Good night, Your Grace.
Good night.
I will not say precisely what my first action was when I found myself alone in my flat with that great Noah's Ark in the center of the room, but the siphon was still doing its work when the voice sounded.
By George, I could do with a Sullivan.
Raffles!
Well,
where are you? For heaven's sake, man, where are you?
Here. Panel stuck. You gave the thing a bit of a bashing, bringing it up from that vault, you know.
No, wait. All's well. Phew.
It was beginning to give me quite a nasty feeling.
You were inside.
The chest of silver.
Noah's Ark? That's what the cabbie called it.
So he did. Actually, I cribbed the idea not from Genesis, but from the divine Homer. Wooden horse of Troy and all that.
Let me help you out.
In a moment. Though I says it myself has made it, you are now looking at a most delicate and complicated device. Before this panel will open sufficiently to release me, I must reach out through this hole and undo the main locks. Now, this slides back. And here I am. Masculine himself.
You. You were the Sloane Street burglar, the daring and mysterious one.
Who else?
Well, I'm just as glad I didn't know.
You dear little brick bunny. How could you have behaved as you've done if you had known? How could any living man? Bunny, I don't know when you were the greatest. At the Albany, or here, or the City and Suburban. By the way, I'd not reject a finger or two of that whiskey at your elbow.
Oh, I beg your pardon, AJ.
Do I not detect something in your manner? A little less than elation? Bunny, I've been heaping praise and congratulations upon your deserving head. I've crowned you with the laurel. Thank you. Why do you look so glum?
Raffles, don't you believe me capable of keeping your secrets?
And what exactly would have been gained in this instance?
My peace of mind, for one thing. But of course, that doesn't count.
Oh, Bunny, of course it counts. You believe I don't trust you sufficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't I trust my very life to your loyalty and tenacity? What do you suppose would have happened to me if you'd left that box to rot in the strong room? Do you think I would have ever crept out and given myself up?
No, Raffles, I don't believe you would.
I trusted not only you, Bunny, but your nature. Remember that.
And all that nonsense about Mackenzie.
That wasn't nonsense about Mackenzie, Bunny. Would that it were. I've underrated that tenacious Scotchman, my friend. I'll lay 100 to 1 he's been round my chambers with a fine tooth comb, while I've been, as he believes, breathing the heady air of his native Caledonia. And since you're determined to believe that I misinform you, old stick, I really am having the telephone and electric light put in.
And the silver? Where did you stow all that silver?
The luggage. For my Scottish trip. I left the lot at Euston.
Well, your plan seems to have gone like clockwork.
I compliment myself, it did. The small business of the robbery was over in a trice, and very profitable it was, too. The Easter exodus of the well-off provided better than even I dared to hope. It's all in here. All small, all beautiful, and all beautifully negotiable. Now, the rest of my time in the vault, I devoted to laying a false trail.
They seemed to think you'd entered through the coal cellar.
Exactly what I wished them to think. I didn't go to the trouble of building the Trojan horse here for just the one canter. It's my pension, old fella.
It wasn't like you to strike the watchman, eh, Jay?
Don't moralize, Bunny. It was a foul blow, I admit. But it was mercifully given. The victim has already told his tale, has he not? To the Gazette?
He has.
Then cheer up, for heaven's sake, my dear old rabbit. You really have nothing to reproach me with, you know.
And what about Crawshay? You let me think he was about again. I suppose that was all lies, too. I dare say you've never heard of him since you put him on the Southampton trail.
Not a dicky bird, old fellow. He simply played his part, along with the rest, in making your anxiety as genuine as possible.
But you needn't have told me such a downright lie, you know.
Nor did I, Bunny.
But your note. You said, if I remember, that the Prince of Professors was in the offing when you left.
So he was. Time was when I was none too pure an amateur at this game. But I now take leave to consider myself a professor, of all professors. And I'd like to see one more capable of skippering the side.
In some men, such boastful arrogance would have produced a jarring note. But such was Raffles' charm, and so bright the twinkle in his eye as he spoke the words, so innocent the enjoyment, that I was borne along with him upon the tide of his euphoria. I had no will to resist him. I could only raise my glass and cry as I had done so many times before, and with no foreboding of how few times after, the words of our private toast.
To crime.
Jeremy Clyde played A.J. Raffles with Michael Cochrane as Bunny Manders. Henry Stamper was Inspector Mackenzie. In The Chest of Silver, the short story by E.W. Hornung, dramatized for radio by David Buck. Other parts were played by Adrian Egan, Gordon Reed and David Lerner. Raffles, a BBC drama series, directed by Gordon House.